The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
What time is it?
I started to question myself if I was watching Lucha Underground and I had accidentally flipped over to Cinemax.
Not a whole lot of faces shown as far when it comes to Brenda, so.
Yeah.
You're spot on there, buddy.
This is the house that AJ Styles built.
Nakamura, he's just such a great star. It doesn't matter what you do with him, people are going to cheer for him.
Did you feel the gloriousness? Did you feel it? Bobby Roode did his job.
This is insane how great they are.
Well, I think the authors of Pain are young prodigies.
That's how good we are.
Representing Bullet Club, this is what we do.
Super Kid Putty! Japan!
Excuse me, Finn. We all saw what happened earlier tonight, but can I get your thoughts on what transpired between you and Bray Wyatt?
Bray Wyatt wants to play games. Let's play.
Ladies and gentlemen, wrestling to the mat.
And your host, Gary Vaughn, Sean Garmer, and Paul Deezer.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling to the Max, episode 257, part 1. And of course, we are brought to you by the W2Mnet.com, as well as 411Mania.com. Hey, and if you love everything that we have to offer, make sure you go find us and subscribe, rate, and review over at Wrestling to the Max or the W2M Network, wherever you get your podcast. Also, don't forget about YouTube as well. It's another great place to go subscribe because they'll even send you an email every time that we have a new episode. Also, make sure you join that Facebook group. Yes, right. We have a Wrestling to the Max Facebook group that is full of life. Lots of people having big discussions in the world of wrestling. Lots of entertaining things also thrown on there that you just don't want to miss out on. So we are everywhere pretty much. We just want to give you guys a heads up wherever every avenue you can go down to find us. I am your host, Gary Vaughn. Along with me is Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And Mr. Sean Garmer.
What's up, everybody?
And guys, we have a interesting show here to talk about. We've got, of course, some Ring of Honor, like we always do on Mondays. But we also got some interesting news topics, like, we'll be talking about AJ Styles and a few guys that he wants WWE to sign. We also have GFW losing a couple of guys. We'll be talking about them. Plus, we'll be talking about Okada and his interview recently and some of the interesting details that we got out of that. And a little bit more, like some Total Divas talk. So there's plenty of stuff for us to get into when it comes to the news as well. Really looking forward to this show. But before we get into this show, I just got to say that, we've had a pretty interesting weekend, especially with this show. We did a Battleground review. If no one knows about it, you're going to know about it now. We did it late, and we actually had to do it right before we recorded this show. Because of the fact that we had a few things go wrong. I lost electricity for almost the entire night. I stayed basically halfway awake all night because I was like, is it back on? No, it's not. Is it back on? No, it's not. So I was like a dog, man, I swear. I was like, oh, is it there? Is it? Where's it at? So anyway, I had that going on. And so I couldn't record a show. Paul had the night off. And, of course, Sean didn't want to do Battleground by himself, which I don't blame him. Wow. That would, man, Sean.
I would have fallen asleep doing Battleground by myself.
Yeah. And not only that, I'd be worried about your safety. Like, oh, please, don't let him have any sharp object in his hand. Good God. So, anyway, we saved Sean the headache and the danger. So, we did that Battleground show. You get to hear all our displeasure. Go check it out. It's worth your time. It's just so funny that, it came so late. But we just want to throw that out there, just in case you may have, SmackDown Live, and you know, of course, showing you didn't know we did Battleground. We did it. Got to go check it out. But yeah, guys, I mean, that was my journey this weekend. Not only did my power go out, but you know, I had a few other things going crazy this weekend. I'm just, man, I don't know what to say sometimes, but I'm here and I'm excited about being here. But anything going on special with you guys? I know, Paul, I know you went and saw Spider-Man and probably did a few other fun things.
Spider-Man, Game of Thrones on Sunday. Mostly just hanging out, doing what I usually do. Really enjoyed the movie, though. I know me and Gary talked about it some couple weeks ago, I think, on a Monday episode. So it's really good. If you haven't seen it yet, I would recommend it. It's really fun to see how Marvel keeps adding on different types of movies that happen to have superheroes in them, if you catch my meaning. Like, this is Spider-Man's very much a teen rebellion flick that happens to have superheroes in it. Like, it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. A lot of fun to watch, definitely. And another movie that came out that a lot of people are probably going to go check out, which I actually showed up early today with my daughter. And I'm so early they didn't even have anything on the screen when we showed up in the theater. She was bugging us that much to get inside the theater. So we're sitting there waiting for it to come on, just the commercials. And we went and saw Despicable Me 3. And that was a fun, little fun movie. It was cool. You know, the minions are themselves and doing all that stuff. So it was cool. I the thing I loved about that movie the most is all the 80s music. And I know, Sean, you'd dig it too. I just completely loved all those little 80s throw-ins that they had in there. But I don't know, man. It's one of those where probably none of the other kids got it, but I did. So what's going on with you, Sean?
Nothing. Just working. And if I'm not working at the other job, I'm doing something on the side or just... You know, it's starting to get to back to school, so I'm dreading the amount of money that has to go to buying school supplies and other things. I mean, luckily Kmart is, you know, on discount everything, but of course by the time I might have the money to buy things, half that stuff can be gone, so.
Well, what you do is you grab a few things here, grab a few things there, put it over in the garden section.
I could probably put it in the storage room, but, you know, I don't want to get fired for something. So.
Yeah. Well, that's true. You know, I remember doing that back in the day. Like, you know, you'd go to the store, you know, even when you were younger as a kid, your mom or dad, and they're like, oh, that, you know, these shoes are on sale, but, you know, I need to go back and get a few more bucks, or maybe they didn't have what they needed, so I'm gonna come back, I'm gonna hide these, and I'll come back and know where exactly where they're at, you know. So I remember doing those kind of things as when I was younger. But I mean, maybe you can sneak maybe the bathroom or somewhere, I don't know, find a place. The ceiling tiles are always good.
Yeah, that's always good too.
Anyway, well, enough of me encouraging you to do things that are not really good for you. Oh boy. I know. I can see it now. Sean's like, thanks a lot, Gary. Got fired. So.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I'm glad all of us are kind of doing our own thing and everything's been going well. And I'm just excited to be here with you guys. You know, I look forward to these shows. And of course, you know, look forward to also talking about some of these wrestling topics, because every time I see them on the news feed, I'm like, I can't wait to talk to the guys and see their feedback. So let's go ahead and do that now. We got some quick hits to get into, and we will be right back, guys, right after this.
It's time for wrestling news. Quick hits.
All right.
All right. Well, let's start off by talking a little AJ Styles. That's right. He is, of course, one of those guys that you really love watching in the ring anytime he's around. And he's got a few guys that he wants in that same ring with him. And we'll talk about those guys. You know, surprisingly, it is not one of the guys I was considering, Buff Bagwell. No, not him.
God.
Don't you? I just thought maybe AJ, you know, he can make anybody look good. Could you imagine him making Buff Bagwell look like $1 million? I mean.
Buff's retiring, Gary. Like, come on, man. Let's close the door on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can I just hold on to him a little longer, Paul, please?
I think you have to pay extra for that, Gary.
Yeah.
I saw that in his email back to me. He had to pay a little extra for a few things. Yeah. So, Buff, I'm sorry. You are not the stuff for me. Anyway. Well, let's talk about the guys that AJ really does want to face off against in the WWE ring. That is Bad Luck Fale and, of course, Tonga. So, Tana Tonga and Bad Luck Fale, both are guys in New Japan. And AJ has, you know, of course, worked with these guys before. But he, you know, mentioned them specifically. So, which means that this guy, you know, has his eyes and ears out for him. And I'm sure he's going to be pointing those same things out to WWE officials. What do you think about this? I think, you know, those are some good choices, if you ask me. What do you think, Paul?
I'm a big fan of Tama Tonga. I think he's a great wrestler. He's very different. And he's also a spectacular athlete, and that's a lot of stuff WWE likes. I don't know if he has the size, which is something that you could say about Bad Luck Fale. Big guy, has the size. Not a terrific wrestler, but I think he can hold his own pretty well. And certainly can be worked with to get to a very good match. So I'd be okay if, for sure, if Tama Tonga shows up. I think that one's only a matter of time. He's still fairly young in his career. Well, not fairly young in his career, but he's still a young guy. Has a lot of time. I don't know so much about Fale. He is older. He seems sort of set. He's got a training school in New Zealand. He seems to be part of New Japan's expansion that direction. So that one might be a little tougher to see now than maybe 3 or 4 years ago. But I could still see Tonga heading that way sometime.
Yeah, I think Paul nailed this one. It's Tonga, I feel like, even though, you know, they are obviously moving in the direction of doing stuff in the United States, which helps Tonga, who's been on this crusade about, you know, get out of Japan, New Japan, you need to do things in the United States where it might benefit him more. You know, if this stuff doesn't improve for him where he actually gets a reaction, and you know, those kind of things, I could see him wanting to move and try something different. I don't know that he is a guy that might really be able to do something for New Japan in the future. Fale is a guy that New Japan protects a lot. You'll see it in the G1 as it continues, and you see it throughout the year. Like Paul said, he's got stuff going on here. They've made attempts to push into New Zealand and Australia. It helps that you also have Jay White, who's from New Zealand, who's going to be coming back at some point to be sort of a newer star to bring out there. But the monsters are kind of what Vince likes. And they are sort of serving a great purpose in WWE right now. So imagine you get a guy like Fale. Could he be as cool as he is in New Japan and also be the monster? I don't know. But you bring him in, he's a presence. He's somebody you don't want to mess with. And with the right guy, he can have a good match. And AJ would be one of those guys that would know what to do with him. You know, I think it's obviously AJ wanting more of his Bullet Club buddies in the same federation that he's in, which isn't a bad call. Just, you know, I don't know if Fale would come, but Tonga seems like maybe he should have came the last time he had a contract open.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I mean, I think that, you know, there's probably reasons why those guys have made decisions they have, and probably why when their contracts were up, they didn't make that move or maybe throw out some feelers to see if WWE was interested. I really look at this as a situation where, you know, like you said, Sean, AJ's kind of finding his old buddies and trying to find a way to get them involved or maybe throw their name out there. That way that WWE pays attention. Maybe even those guys pay attention to AJ, you know, kind of calling out saying, guys, I would love to wrestle. You come here, you know, don't think about doing anything else. Go to WWE. But will it happen? No one knows. You know, there's always that possibility still hanging around, but there's no guarantee any of that will happen. No. Well, you know, talking about people moving around different places, we do know that there's guys that will no longer be with Global Force Wrestling. And one of those guys is Matt Morgan, and the other is Davey Richards. That is right. They are no longer going to be a part of GFW. And, you know, it's interesting. I think Davey Richards can pretty much, you know, find a home pretty quickly. Matt Morgan's a guy that I'm, you know, I don't know if I'm surprised, but I don't know where he goes from here. I don't know if he just is. Things have not really worked out his way. Any of these things, you know, kind of either of these guys, I should say, Sean, make sense to you, or do you see him going anywhere else of significance? They just hit in the indies.
Davey Richards, I mean, they just had a baby, right? So he might want to take some time off to spend with their kid after that. I mean, he could go to NXT. He's not Mr. Personality. Not that NXT does have guys that are also not Mr. Personalities either. So, I mean, he could fit there. I just, you know, I don't know if him being a singles guy there is going to really sell any kind of tickets or anything, but I mean, they're into just grabbing anybody from the indies, right? I mean, we got Red Dragon there now, so he's a name. He's on, I don't know how much of a name anymore, but he's a name. He's coming from TNA, which they also like to do. Matt Morgan, WWE didn't care about bringing him back before. He will just be fine doing his Wrestling Inc. podcasts and being on the indies and doing his thing. Maybe, I don't know, Lucha Underground, if they have a season 4, could think about it.
I think Matt Morgan was more doing it as a favor to Jeff, maybe, or something like that, just to sort of help the GFW launch thing. I don't know if he's so invested in wrestling that he really cares whether he has a full-time job with it or not right now. And it's interesting, too, that Morgan asked for his release, too. And I assume Davey did. I didn't read his story. I just read the headline. But he's got a lot of options outside the WWE if this is something he wants to stick with. Like Sean said, he's got a family now. Wrestling doesn't seem to be his focus anymore because there was all that talk of firefighting and stuff with him. So I don't really know what you do with Davey unless he just goes back to working the indies on the weekends and maybe fights fires by day, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that could be something interesting, right? I mean, you're sitting, you know, somewhere and you see a fire and you're like, oh, God, help. And then you see Davey Richards hop out and you're like, oh, man. Oh, wow.
Comes
yeah.
flying and howling.
Yeah. You're like, oh, no. Well, you know, at least he's stopping the fires and not putting them out there. So. But yeah, Angelina Love, you know, she usually starts the fires, I think, though. So at least we hope. I don't know. I feel like bad for her.
I feel like we need to have a Billy Joel thought in here or something.
And Billy Joel, I'm game for that. Let's try that. I love Billy Joel. Of course, Johnny Cash has the Ring of Fire if we continue with the Firekins conversation. You know, we talked about GFW. We talked about New Japan and you know, some of these guys moving on and doing things. And the one thing I was going to ask you earlier, you know, AJ Styles was a guy that, you know, kind of wanted to see some of his buddies come over from New Japan. Is there any specific guys that you would have coming out of New Japan to head WWE or even Global Force Wrestling that maybe leaves Global Force Wrestling, leaves New Japan, that you would like to see in WWE? I'm not talking about big names either. I'm not talking about Okada, guys like that, by the way. Those are the easy answers.
Well, no, I mean, like, those are the guys that I don't know that I don't know that Okada's ever going to come. Kenny Omega would be great if he really wanted to come. If, say, like, honestly, for me, I think the only way that Kenny Omega comes is if this this expansion to the U.S. doesn't work out as great as New Japan wants it to, which all signs right now point to being good, but obviously once you get more of the foothold going on and then you start becoming a bigger deal, that's, you know, WWE might start deciding to put the foot down, and then, you know, it might be a problem, and we'll have to see if that ever becomes an issue. But I think other than that, I don't know of a Japanese guy that I go, man, I really want him to come over here right now, because not everybody's Shinsuke, right? Like, not everybody's going to just be a hit from the word go. And, you know, Tozawa was able to kind of survive here. But, no, you could get a lot of more Hideos. And if you get that doesn't really help you at all. I don't know, Paul. I feel like Michael Elgin, he'd be great, but he's got so much going on his own. I don't know that. And I don't know that he would catch on the same way either. I mean, it's not like we don't see people doing the moves he does now. So I don't know. You got anybody in mind?
New Japan wise, not really. I think people who are over there really fit there well, and it's not like you're working for small potatoes there either. So, you know, Japanese talent wise over there too. What really worked for Shinsuke and Tozawa is that they have a lot of charisma, and it's not even mic wise. It's just in ring wise. There's something about them that makes you want to watch them. Whereas with Kenta / Hideo, it's about violence, and they're only recently starting to scratch that surface with him, I think. So until I think Hideo proves he can fly a bit better, same with Asuka. If she flies on the main roster, maybe you have some more people who you wouldn't expect from Japan show up. But GFW-wise, I don't know if there's anybody there I really care to see in the WWE. I mean, maybe Moose at some point, but that's really all I can think of off the top of my head.
So yeah, I feel like Moose would be great.
Yeah, Moose could be interesting. I'd like to see him train with WWE and see what they can mold of him, right? Because I think he's got some potential, but I don't know. When I watch him wrestle, sometimes I'm kind of like thinking to myself, there's something there that they could definitely tweak, but it's not perfect for me. Rose one that I think would be really interesting to see hop on over to the WWE. I think that'd be kind of a cool twist.
Did you say Rosemary?
Yeah.
Sorry, you cut out in the middle so I couldn't.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Rosemary.
I don't know that they'd let her do the semi gimmick, and that would be a problem.
Well, yeah, Courtney Rush on her own is a phenomenal talent, so I think she could make a lot of stuff fly, and if she can make Rosemary work, I have all the faith in the world that
right,
she
like, I think it would work in NXT, but I don't know once you get to the main roster. Unless she finds a gimmick that works in NXT, obviously.
That's,
you know,
that's what I'm saying. Whatever they decide to saddle her with, I think she can pull it off.
Well, you know, that's a good thought. What about Eli Drake? He's one that I'd love to see come to NXT. Pass.
I think if he can find something that works, I think he could. He's a serviceable enough wrestler, which he could improve being in the performance center, being around all those guys. But, you know, you already got Mike Bennett there that kind of sets your bar. So, I don't know. GFW doesn't really have a lot of guys that I go there. A lot of them are just ex-WWE. It's either people that I don't feel would be ready for WWE, I mean, outside the talent that's already contracted to somebody else, you know, that's being used right now, which that's another, you know, thing in of itself. But the talent that they have under contract, you know, I'd love to see Trevor Lee, but he'd get stuck in 205 Live, you know, and I don't want that for him, you know, so, like, I want Ricochet to come, but I don't want him to get stuck in 205 Live either. You know, I mean, he has the talent to supersede 205 Live, where, and I think he said this, that he will not come if they're going to put him there, but just, you know, right now, GFW kind of just has all these sort of talents that are just, they're trying to build them into something, or guys that used to be there and are not going to be there again.
Yeah, and it's fair enough. I mean, it really is. I look at this as, you know, some great conversation, because you always kind of throw out some names out there to kind of see where people kind of feel about them, how they fit in. With
I will
the
say if Lashley gets to come back and gets to be the...
I don't think they're going to book Lashley. Yeah.
Like, you
I
know.
Don't think they're going to book him that way if he does, though.
Could you? I could see him being in NXT, though, and Triple H just having a field day with that.
See, I don't think Lashley doesn't come back to WWE if he's going to get stuck in NXT.
Right. He would go to the main roster. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. I don't know. I mean, I feel like, well, hey, we had Drew McIntyre go back to NXT.
Drew has the pedigree, like the indie stuff behind. Lashley's 41, and, you know, MMA, and he's had some time on him, and he just, I don't think you sign to NXT at that age expecting to get a monster run there. I think he's fine where he is. I think GFW books him as well as he possibly can be, and it works for him. I think coming to WWE is a mistake. Because, like, we're seeing it already. Like, so many people are signing that the pool to get your time in is vastly becoming smaller. And that's, like, it's great that they keep signing all these talents to NXT and keeping that fresh, but my God, when do you run out of, when do you say enough is enough and sort of let, you know, realize that these talents can develop better elsewhere and all these other things? And I don't know. I get real worried that WWE is just going to become so full of people that you're going to miss out on a lot of other stuff that these guys could have been doing if they didn't sign.
Yeah, that's what I worry about. Like, how many of these? I know they said that because of the whole, you know, looks thing or whatever, that they may not sign a lot of the women talent out of the Mae Young Classic. But even if you sign, like, let's say, I mean, a lot of those women are already signed anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's say you sign like five or, you know, five more. It's, good Lord. I mean, you would really need a women's show to get them all on TV.
Yeah, just to make sure they had a spot. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not advocating that they need to do that. I'm saying, you know, like that UK show wouldn't be bad to send some of these guys, if they ever get that off the ground, send some of these guys, maybe they're not UK, but like you could send Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly over there and they would go. You know, the crowd would love them, and you could send, you know, you could send McIntyre over there sometimes, you could send some other guys, and like, I think they'd get a fresh feel in front of a different audience. I mean, like you said, Paul, just, there's only an hour, either that, or you're going to have to extend an hour of NXT. You're going to sign all these people, you mm-hmm. might have to start making NXT 2 hours.
Yeah. And that, to me, it would definitely hurt NXT. I don't think that would help at all. So, I mean, it is really tough.
I mean, it would get you even more ready for the main roster, and the writing people would be ready for, you know, if they ever get moved or whatnot, because you're basically having to book at least a 2-hour show up there. So,
yeah. It's, you know, really interesting for the fact that, like you said, I mean, you've got to get the guys ready, and hey, making it a longer show kind of prepares them. I just think that, you know, you've got a good thing going into NXT, kind of leave it the way it is, you know, and they're adding more talent, but, you know, they've got to be careful at the same time because the oversaturation and the limited time the guys already have to get out there and showcase themselves. I just think, you know, we've got plenty of the places too, and you guys have pointed that out. So let's hope that they do, you know, play things smart, right, and allow some of the good talent to come. But I mean, also let some of the talents go and do some other things. We'll see. Let's go ahead and move on, though, from that discussion, and let's go ahead and talk about something that's really, really interesting, and I'm really kind of curious what you guys have to talk about this, because you guys really follow this guy closely, and this interview is right up your alley. Okada recently came out and did have a big interview and kind of talked about some things like, you know, wrestling older guys and things like that. So, Paul, why don't you kind of break some of this down for us and kind of talk about what you thought?
So Okada did an interview where he talked about wrestling the older wrestlers in the G1, like Nagata and like Kojima and guys from the third generation, technically. And he calls it boring. He says that there's no way they can compete. They're still active, and that's great. And, you know, they're doing all this veteran stuff, but they just aren't in the G1 anymore. And then he goes on to say that he wants stricter requirements to be in the G1 in the first place. And then that's really interesting. I honestly, personally, don't have a problem with vets in there. I get what he's saying, though. It plays up to his character for sure, which is where this interview is coming from, too. But the stricter requirements to be in the G1 is a really interesting idea that I think New Japan should look at, honestly. Obviously, champions matter and all that good stuff, too, because they always end up in this for sure. But like, I don't know how you would go about adding a requirement. Like, do you do wins? Do you do major, like, does the winning the New Japan Cup get you a spot? Do they do just qualifying matches? I would be really interested to see what kind of requirements New Japan would, like, try to put on people in a future G1 to make sure you have the best of the best in a tournament.
I'd like to see that, too, just to push up the sports perspective on that, make it more of a competitive thing. You could have certain matches, right, that qualify you in. Obviously, if you're a champion, you do need to make, you know, New Japan Cup have a little bit more of another thing. Like, if you win, you're in for the G1. Maybe they could even do a, I mean, I know that it's not a thing that they've done in a long time, but, you know, maybe if you win Best Super Juniors, you have the option if you want to be in the G1. You know, if you, depends on who it is, right? I mean, obviously, if it's Tonga, I don't want his brother in there, but, I mean, you could even do the, you know, if your team wins the tag league, you could, both members of that team get in the G1. I mean, so there's a lot of things they could do to make this interesting. You could have, you know, now with your USA thing there, you could have a little tournament in the USA and like the top two get in the G1 or something, you know, out of guys from like ROH and CMLL and your various partner promotions or whatever, if you want. So
that'd be cool.
I mean, I'd like to see them do something like that. You know, the thing with the old guys, Nagata has a story, right? It's the last one. He's been in every single one, that he's been able to, you know, since he's been there. You know, Kojima can still go, so I don't have a problem with Kojima being there. And, you know, Makabe's been good. So, you know, you can complain all you want to Okada, but this isn't like they got Nakanishi in there taking up a spot.
Exactly.
Whatever. I mean, Suzuki is obviously old, too, but dude isn't out there slouching it. So, you know, yeah,
and he's older, too, and he's still out here slaying it and all that stuff. So I don't know where you draw the line on age, honestly. Like, if they're still producing, then
it's like, are you really going to take you take Ishii out of this G1. I mean, like, you're taking away a lot of the great matches. So, I mean, come on now, Okada.
Yeah, for sure. And he also has this little bit about Juice, too, where he thinks he's the future of wrestling and all this stuff, and at least for New Japan, which I found very interesting too. I know you've been bigger on Juice than I have. Juice has won me over a lot this year for sure, but future of the promotion, I don't know.
Well, I mean, you got what, like, so if you want to have Juice in there with Jay White, and I don't know that Finley has that same pedigree, but maybe. And then you add in the other young lions that are coming back, you know, the Yoheis and Shows, and then you'll have Okada if Ibushi were to stick around. And I mean, look, a lot of these guys are older for them, so you got to start looking at, you know, Omega if he stays around. You know, Elgin could also, he's still sort of a younger guy. It's a lot of the sort of younger guys are also juniors too. So, like, you know, you got to, that, I guess that's why you have all those heavyweight young lions right now too, is you need to start developing, not just heavyweights, but Japanese heavyweights. And they still got time, obviously, before this really becomes an issue for them. But I could see if Juice stuck around, he could really do something for New Japan. I mean, he's obviously shown that he's dedicated to the craft and to the company. So, hey, look, I mean, this is not anybody just heaping praise here, right? This is Okada saying it, so...
Yeah, I mean, I like I said, I don't have a problem with Juice. Like, he's really improved a lot. He's won me over a lot this year. Say he's the future of the company, I don't know about that. Certainly, I think he has the potential to go far. I just don't know if he ever ends up in the same spot Okada's in or anything like that. That's what future of the promotion means to me when we're talking New Japan.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of interesting, and, you know, Okada is definitely one of the guys that has a lot of respect, and, of course, if he's pointing out guys like Juice Robinson and a few others, you should definitely be paying attention to him. I have to say that. You've got to watch these guys if you're not watching them already. Super awesome guys, and Okada in this interview kind of breaks down a few of those things, and I think it's cool that he was that candid in the interview and kind of opened up. I was really happy to see all that. All right, well, let's talk a little Total Divas. Of course, their air date will be September 6th for this upcoming season, which will be season 7. And they actually do have the cast.
That's Total Bellas is the thing that's coming.
Oh, Total Bellas. All right, thank you. Yeah, Total Bellas will be the one September 6th, right, Sean?
Yes, which I'm not that looking forward to because now I'm the one stuck doing the reviews.
Oh, no.
So our reviewer left. But
at least you got Total Divas to look forward to, right? Season 7.
That should be a bit more entertaining. The thing with Total Bellas that was actually redeeming was, number one, you got to see John Cena sort of having a different side to him. Number two, you got to get the interesting stuff with Brian and the injury and the concussion and how he was going through all that. So this one is, and then you had Nikki's injury too. So I wonder what they're recovering with this one. It seems like there's going to be less sad stuff and more positive because of the baby and everything. So I guess you get to watch Brie and Brian having a newborn, maybe. So that's always fun, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. Total Divas should be a lot more fun with the new people they're adding, and yeah, let's see what happens there.
You don't have to review the show if you don't want to, Sean. Like, I don't think anybody's going to cry if you don't review Total Divas.
I know, but like, it actually does nice numbers on the site, so I kind of wanted to keep it going, but
right.
You know,
yeah.
So, yeah, trust me, if it was doing nothing, I wouldn't bother. that's what I kept telling the guy, too. I was like, don't feel like, you know, I don't want you to leave because this is actually doing good stuff. So, and he's like, yeah, I'm just getting so frustrated with reviewing the show that I feel like I'm going to die inside if I keep reviewing it. So I was like, well, I'm not going to. I don't want you dying inside while reviewing something. So.
Yeah,
I had to watch the show twice, screen grabbing. So that was, talk about, you know, I had to just like put like a filter on where I just wouldn't pay attention to what was going on in my brain and not think logic. You have to basically act like WWE, just don't think logically.
Oh, okay. Oh man, jeez. You know, my thing though is Sean, just don't have any sharp objects watching the show. Once again,
I mean, like if Braun gets to show up, I think that's cool. You get to see Braun in a different setting. Like, you know, what's cool is the guys actually seem like genuine people on the show, and the women are obviously they play up the cattiness with the women. So, like, you know, John Cena and Daniel Bryan and The Miz all look like just like nice dudes that you'd want to be around. And the women are kind of, it's just like, oh my God, just get away from me. You know, so that's what's funny about that show. But yeah, I mean, like, you know, Tyson Kidd gets to come back. It's been a while since we've seen him. He was always funny on the show, making some kind of joke at Natty's expense. And, you know, so it's, I mean, I guess Murphy's going to be there with Alexa. I don't know if we'll see him or not, but yeah.
That'd be really, you know, fun to, you know, kind of see how that all shakes out. I mean, I probably won't be tuning in because I feel like if I tuned in and be like watching The Ring, you know, one of them climb out of the TV at me or something. But, you know, I think it's good for people who enjoy that show and, you know, hopefully, you know, you're feeling good after watching it. So,
Like, but what's so bad, what makes it bad is that it's like watching a Saturday morning cartoon. They kiss and make up at the end. Every time. And it's like, oh my God. The intelligence that is being insulted right now. Yeah.
Oh, man. I have a feeling for me to watch it, it had to be a little bit more than kissing. So. I'm just saying, you know. We'll see, though. They already got rid of Renee Young, so that
I'm pretty sure the ratings would be through the roof if there was a little bit more kissing.
Yeah. Paul's like, I'll review that show. But all right, guys. Well, that is Quick Hits for us for this episode. But, you know, we've got one more thing left to do on this show, and that is talk some Ring of Honor. That's right. We had a pretty exciting episode to talk about, man. I'm kind of looking forward to this one. So we'll be right back with some Ring of Honor action.
Oh, no, there it is. I was sitting there going, no. Sorry, I thought the studio decided to start erasing stuff again. So I was sitting there going, where the hell did it go? And it was just there. It was hidden behind things. So, all right, guys, take it away.
All right, Ring of Honor opens this week with the Bullet Club. It's the Young Bucks and Hangman Page hanging out in the ring. They announce to the live crowd that they are gunning for those World Six-Man Tag Team titles. They've beaten the former champs, and now they want the current champs. Pretty much all they have to say. And then Hangman Page brings out Marty Scurll for a six-man mayhem match featuring himself, Josh Woods, Frankie Kazarian, Vinny Marseglia, Will Ferrara, and El Terrible from CMLL. I thought this was fun. You have a whole lot of everything here. You get some flying, you get some brawling, you get some storytelling here as Shane Taylor comes out randomly to attack Josh Woods, so that seems like to be set up for some story going on there. And then Kazarian starts going wild on everybody at the finish. However, Marty Scurll comes in, throws him to the outside, and ends up covering Vinny for the Duke. That might be something going forward, too. I don't know if all that stuff is settled between Kazarian and the Bullet Club, but I think you get a nice spread of everything here in the opener that gets you ready for the rest of the show.
Yeah, you do, and you get some stuff that, you know, like you said, has something to do with storylines. The Shane Taylor thing is really interesting. And I think, you know, having the Bullet Club with Marty Scurll, I mean, my God, he is so charismatic, and I love everything that he does. I mean, he really added something to this match. I have a feeling you watch this match without Scurll, you kind of get a little lost in all the action and kind of start finding yourself halfway paying attention. But with Skrull involved, it really kind of started picking things up. And I was pretty fond of everything I saw here. It wasn't this most spectacular match of all time, but it was a decent six-man that got your, you know, show going, and I think that was important.
Yeah, it's like you're at a buffet, and you've never been to this buffet before, so you're like, you know what, I'll try a little bit of everything and see what they got. And that's very much what this was right here.
Mm-hmm.
Christopher Daniels gets a promo after the match is over to talk about Cody and how he lost the championship to him and how he reacted poorly to Ring of Honor and its fans and everything like that. So he's going to accept Cody's challenge for the 2 out of 3 falls match, which will take place in 2 weeks on ROH TV. This could be kind of cool. I'm interested. I don't know how great the match is going to be because Daniels hasn't really produced anything to get you out of your seat singles-wise with the championship, but maybe they go ham here and put on something worthwhile.
Can you hear me? I'm sorry. I don't know if you can hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay. I guess I had my deal. It was on mute or something. Anyway, okay, so this was interesting. I kind of like this. And, you know, did you see that sign that Silas Young had?
The Days Without Jay Lethal?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, I mean, that's later on in the show. But
yeah, but okay, so I'm trying to think what I was talking about. Okay, so what we're talking about here is the, remind me.
We're talking about the Daniels promo about Cody and the upcoming title match. Yeah.
Thank you. It kind of cut out a little bit, so I heard pieces of it, and I thought you were kind of going past that. So the Daniels, the audio issues sometimes suck. Daniels is really interesting here because he kind of gets his piece in, which I'm very happy. I thought they were going to ignore that. I really did. I thought they were going to kind of push Daniels off. So it gives us a reason to understand that he had to take a time off away because of, you know, him getting in the ring with and doing things he shouldn't have with Cody. So this is good. I think they at least give you a little of understanding, push this off a little further without any in reaction. So I'm okay with it. I mean, there's not a lot really here besides the fact of that, but they need to do this. And I think it's important, especially if you're going to make this a big deal, right? So really happy that they gave us a little bit of that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. After that, you have the Beer City Bruiser taking on Brian Malonis. This is a rarity in ROH. You don't really get to see a lot of big guy matches, and I think they did pretty well with this. It doesn't overstay its welcome. I think you get everything you sort of want out of this. The Bruiser ends up winning with the big frog splash to keep putting that over. Honestly, I wouldn't. Beer City Bruiser and Silas Young keep looking for a third guy to chase the six-man titles with. Malonis might be that guy. He's rough and tumble and all that good stuff that they like to talk about, and he didn't back down from Silas whenever Silas was giving him guff earlier in the match, so might be something there worth exploring. And then afterwards, Silas gets some promo time to update the Days Without Jay Lethal sign on ROH TV, which is now up to 29, and Mr. Silas believes it's going to be a long time before we see Lethal on ROH TV again.
Yeah,
that's probably not true.
Yeah. And that was the reason I was talking about the sign, is I was going to say that I really thought that was funny because it looked like something you got out of the yard sale. Like, you know how you buy those pre-done signs?
You probably did.
Yeah. I mean, it looked just like if it's not already. So I kind of like that touch. And, you know, in his little promo and all of that, he's talking about Jay Lethal. And I'm okay with Silas Young and the fact that he's, you know, got this going with Jay Lethal. But not exactly the most exciting thing at this moment because you don't have Jay Lethal there. So it's okay. I'm glad they're at least keeping him in the conversation. And if it takes Beer City Bruiser to keep Silas in the conversation, hey, it works too. I think you were right. I think that, you know, he calls himself I'm already blanking on what the guy calls his nickname. Is it Penthal?
Brian Malonis calls himself the Kingpin.
Kingpin, thank you. I don't know why I want to say Penthouse. Kingpin. So the Kingpin, I like to just call him that because it's easier for me. He's a really interesting character. I think he did a great job in this match because it was almost at the beginning like, you know, just an even match. They couldn't do anything besides, you know, getting each other's way. And then, you know, eventually, you know, we do have the Beer City Bruiser, who's kind of the veteran there in Ring of Honor, starting to take care of a little bit more business. But, man, Kingpin looked really good, too. I think you're right on that. I think adding him as the third member of that, you know, trifecta team, wow, it'd be hard to beat, man. They'd be so hard to beat. And I think the Kingdom would definitely have something to be scared of. And I think even the Briscoes and Bully Ray, all those teams would be a little bit more nervous facing off against the team of, you know, Kingpin and the Beer City Bruiser. But that's not set in stone that it would ever happen. But I love the idea that you threw out there that could be the case. And, hey, if it is, I'll definitely be happy. So,
yeah, for sure.
Not a bad match, too, by the way. Two big guys as they are, 300-pounders. You'd be shocked of how much fun that was to watch. I really loved watching that match.
Yeah, and they can both move decently well, and they're not afraid to fly around and do something crazy, which is always appreciated. So,
And the Frog Splash, very interesting to use with a big guy like that, but I love it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Bruiser's definitely got the belly to make sure that hurts. So, main event time, Kushida defends the ROH World Television title against Jay White. I thought this was every bit as good as... Well, I thought this was as good as I imagined it was going to be. Kushida focuses on White's arm for most of the match. Jay White's usually fighting from underneath to try to prove himself that he does belong facing off against the likes of somebody like a Kushida. He even goes so far as to hit the Kiwi Crusher. However, Kushida kicks out, and this leads to a big striking exchange, and they're just beating the crap out of each other for the last couple of minutes before Kushida manages to trap Jay White on the top rope, locks in the hoverboard lock, and then takes him down with the arm drag into it. Jay almost makes it to the ropes, so Kushida says enough of that, hits the Back to the Future, and retains the championship. Kenny King comes out afterwards to confront Kushida because he's the next man up, and I love this main event. This was quality wrestling right here.
I honestly had forgotten about this being the main event, and when I saw that they were going to have this matchup, I was overly excited. This is almost one of the... I really was, and I was like, oh my god, they're going to show this on Ring of Honor TV? I mean, they're not going to tease us with this? We're actually going to get to see Kushida and Jay Wyatt? I mean, this is going to happen. And, you know, I started writing my check out to Sinclair because I thought I owed him something. But I thoroughly enjoyed this match. It was a lot of fun. I love the work on the arm that Kushida did on Wyatt. I mean, it makes sense. It also plays to, you know, the idea that, you know, man, if Wyatt's arm was better, he could have won the title, all that kind of stuff. And it was just, it was telling a story. They did a wonderful job. Both guys put on everything that I thought they would. I mean, I'm not saying it's a five-star match or anything like that, but it was a really well-done match and made me very happy to watch. And they did not let me down. This is not something I walked away kind of saying, man, they could have done better. No, I think they did just fine. Really happy with this match overall. And I look for more stuff in the future. And I also want to say that I loved that adding Kenny King here at the end. And, you know, let his presence be known because he does deserve a shot at that TV title.
Mm-hmm. He sure does. And Kushida and Kenny King should be phenomenal, too. And, of course, next week we're going to have a Women of Honor TV special, which I'm super excited for. Because one, I'll have Chris Wolf on there for people who didn't get to see her best in the world. I'm a big fan of Kelly Klein. She's main eventing that show against Deonna Purrazzo and I think Mandy Leon and Triple Threat. So should be a good time.
Yeah, exciting. And it's kind of fun to have a change of pace on Ring of Honor TV. You know, we get some of the same old stuff sometimes, but this will be definitely a huge change of pace. I'm really excited about it. But yeah, that pretty much wraps up everything that we have to offer you guys tonight. Of course, you know, don't forget this next Thursday night. Of course, Friday morning on the download, we will have another part of this episode. It'll be part two of episode 257. And then I'll give you some Lucha Underground. That'll give you some Impact Wrestling to talk about. We'll also be jumping into the big news topics and a lot more. And of course, you know, if you don't want to miss out on the G1 action that's going on, guess what? Paul and Sean are going to do a G1 special for you guys that's continuing on with the G1. So make sure you go tune in for that. That is going to be so much fun. So many great things to talk about there. And, you know, we got, you know, of course, all the review shows, all the other stuff we do. We do so much stuff that we hope we can get you all the content that you can handle and make sure you go find us at W2Mnet.com. That's the easiest way to come find us. It really is. You just go type in W2Mnet.com, click, you are there. You are ready to find audio content. You're there to find written content. Just so much fun. Go check it out. Also, don't forget to go make sure and subscribe to Wrestling to the Max. Go rate and review. Also, W2M Network, if you want to get everything over there at the W2Mnet.com family. So YouTube, don't forget that. Don't forget the Facebook group. Go join now if you're not already joined. I mean, we are everywhere. Every avenue that you can find, we are there. And we just want to do it for you. Make sure you get what you want, how you want it, and make it easier for you personally. So that's why we do all this stuff, why we name it all. So there you go. And also, thank you to 411mania.com. We appreciate all those guys over there. They have so many great things going on the side as well. You need to go check them out. So, we are done. That was a mouthful for everything else. But, of course, now I am Gary Vaughn, and you had Sean Garmer and Paul Leeser with us. And, of course, we will see you guys later on. Until then, if you're not living life to the max.
You're not living life at all.
You know it.
Peace.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.